into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. Everyone in.
Now then, you're very welcome back. We're underway in the Champions League. Liverpool, Manchester City, Real Madrid have all kicked off. No early goals to report on. We'll bring them to you as they come. John Bruin on the way after 9 o'clock. We also have Amber Barrett with us to talk about Ireland's very disappointing night in Kiev on Friday. But in the meantime, we're turning to rugby. Six Nations 2020 finale this Saturday. England very much in pole position. They are in Rome, where 5 points and a healthy points differential should secure them the championship. France will be targeting a big number against Ireland in Paris. They'll need a bonus point win and a big tally. And then for Ireland, a bonus point win secures the championship no matter what. Total control of their destiny, albeit odds against. To discuss, we have Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent, Keith Wood with us as well. Keith, we might cast an eye back on Ireland 50, Italy 17. The caveat that comes with all conclusions we might draw is that Italy are so poor.
Yeah, and they were incredibly poor at the weekend. They didn't seem to be comfortable in nearly any facet of the game, which kind of makes life very hard for them. And when you take watching what Leinster then did with Zebre on the night before, it just showed you that there isn't a huge amount of strength and depth there whatsoever. And I think it does start to pose questions over the viability of Italy, because you would expect to see some improvements over time, and yet it just seems to be getting worse for them.
So operating in that context, what can we say about Ireland then?
I thought we were pretty efficient, actually. Look, I was a bit worried at the weekend for a couple of reasons, actually. One of the reasons was that I'd been watching the Champions Cup final the previous week, the Challenge Cup final the previous week, and then the Bledisloe Cup. And I said, this is like a different standard of rugby that we've been seeing for the last, since lockdown has ended. It seems to be entirely different. So I was worried whether we'd be able to show an awful lot. But I think there was a lot shown, and I think we exploited some of the weaknesses in defence from Italy. But I also thought we looked like we wanted to do more. The box kicking game was relegated, I can't quite say, to the past, but it was used very sparingly. And I have to say, partly because of that, the whole game sped up. Because if you're looking to box kick, that means you're looking to slow things down. Connor was getting to the ball and flicking the ball off his wrists, which is fantastic. It was suddenly moving an awful lot faster, and we look much better when we play that way. Now, it's hard to figure that out because we're getting over the gain line better, and I do think box kicking has a place to play. I just think we've kind of done it to death, and it was kind of good to see us do more. And then you got you guys playing, setting the world on fire on the first day, which is kind of no harm.
Mm. Rory, what jumped out to you?
Yeah, I thought the energy of the team was pretty impressive in an empty stadium. I thought they brought an awful lot to the table. They played with ambition, and I know that's not anything new when they play Italy. Even, in the more conservative days of Joe Schmidt, they would often open up against the Italians and build big scores because this was their opportunity to do it. But I do think this was kind of a, they're moving in this direction under Randy Farrell and Mike Cass. They're trying to play with width, and they look like they're buying into it and they're enjoying it. And, you can only beat what's in front of you. There's a much bigger test ahead this weekend. But considering he gave 4 new caps out, that he was missing a number of frontliners, I thought they were quite tidy out of touch. They were good at the scrum. Their breakdown, I think they won 8 first half breakdown turnovers against the Italians, which is no mean feat. Italy picked a pretty big pack. And coming out of what was nearly 8 months without playing together, a couple of weeks together in the provinces and then a training camp beforehand, I thought was pretty impressive and a good step forward. Probably the most it looked like an Andy Farrell team, or it looked like a different team. It looked like a different approach to what we'd seen before. And I think that's all we can really ask for at this stage of Andy Farrell's time in charge. It's only his fourth match in a, you know, more than 12 months now. Mm. It's going to take a while. And I thought we saw signs of progress, signs of where he wants to take it, and some really good execution. And we saw an Irish team that looked like they were enjoying themselves.
Any other specifics, Rory, when you're talking about an Andy Farrell team now?
I thought the number of offloads they threw, the width with which they played, the freedom to go and take things on. You know, I thought, you know, the lack of box kicking, which Keith referenced, I think they're trying to kick in different parts of the pitch now. I think that they may swing back to box kicking eventually, but they're at least the other team won't be expecting the box kick right away. I think he's talked an awful lot. You know, he does speak. And this sounds a bit trite, but he does speak in sound bites. He gets his message out there in the media. He talks about aggression, he talks about adaptability, and he talks about dynamism. And I think that's the team he's picking. And I think he's picking a team that can win collisions, that can play what's in front of it. And he's trying to get them to be less predictable. And I thought they looked less predictable on Saturday. I thought they varied the first, you know, not everything went through Johnny Sexton. We saw Bundiaki pop up first receiver a few times. I don't think I've ever seen CJ Stander make as many passes. You know, the caveat is that it's Italy and they were winning front foot ball and they were operating off 80% quick ball. You know, France will slow them down. France will get in their faces. France will knock them back as England did before, and they may not be able to pull that off. So, you know, it's a small sample size, but I do think we're seeing a more unpredictable Irish team under Andy Farrell, and a team that's kind of, you know, has that the aggression, you know, it kind of replicates the aggression of the coach out onto the pitch. And I liked what I saw. I thought, you know, I think you can forgive a lot of the errors when they play such enjoyable rugby to watch.
Mm. We have a chat coming up later in the week with Paul O'Connell and Sam Warburton, Keith, and Paul makes a point about aggression. And he was talking here in the context of what France are going to throw at Ireland on Saturday. He was quoting something Gatland had said to him about Wales, which was that he didn't want them with too much detail in their head at times because they stopped being aggressive then. They were spending too much time thinking about prescribed stuff and almost forgot to be aggressive. And Paul was saying that anytime he had been on a team that had lacked a bit of aggression, sometimes there was too much going on in the head. And it's very notable that that's what Andy Farrell wants. They are going to need that against this French team, who are, for all the skill, and we'll get on to all that in a moment, they are full of seriously big operators.
Yeah, they've gone. The French team has become a blend of the kind of boring stuff we've seen for the last 15-odd years and the magic stuff that we would have seen with Toulouse in the last 15 years, or the magic stuff we would have seen 20, 30 years ago, where they'd run it from everywhere. They have a really good blend of that at the present moment in time. And look, I think France are a joy to watch playing rugby again, and they hadn't been for quite a while. The Paul's point on aggression, I think you need to bring aggression to every single moment of every game, and it's how do you control it properly. And as opposed to having too much in your head, I think you need to have the things in your head. You need to change. You need to have variance all the time. But it's how do you add that on top of the aggression? And it's one of those arguments you always have, which comes first. I'd often say bring the aggression first. Mm. That's the standard of rugby, especially for forwards or people who are used to contact. It's why the cliches come out, you have to earn the right to go wide. It isn't just to kind of, just for the sake of it, it's not a show of manliness or anything. It is the idea of getting into the game, getting that smash really early, because it's going to have to happen. You're prepared. Like what we have consistently done with Ireland from as long back as when I played and when you watch it play now, when you try and go wide too early, when you try not to engage the forwards too early, you often find as if the pack don't quite get into the game pretty much. And that may be part of Paul's point. It's kind of maybe a variation on a theme. But we need every single bit of it for the weekend, because France were France were magic, and I thought Wales played very well and fought really well, but France were in total control of the game at the weekend.
And actually, on that point, because it arose in the O'Connell discussion, I didn't see this Wales performance. If people didn't see it, this friendly match, there was so much sport on over the weekend, it was hard to keep track. So France beat Wales 38 points to 21 at the weekend. Paul had initially been making the point that he felt at times France were showing almost out of control aggression at the breakdown. You know, he was saying Wayne Barnes is going to have to be on his toes on Saturday in Paris, but they were almost, you know, just manic in terms of the way they were going about their business. Did you see it that way as well?
I thought it was a bristling performance. Look, you do it to whatever the ref will deal with, and everybody's trying to understand exactly what the changes to the laws are, or how they're being, the changes of interpretation of them are. So we know what it is for club matches, then it kind of often changes once you start internationals. So I thought it was a fantastic game of rugby. I thought we got two great games of rugby, but that was of a far higher standard than the one we had, and because of our opposition. So I thought it was on the edge, but, you know, most great rugby's on the edge.
Yeah. I mean, Rory, we'd never be talking about Ireland going to Paris and looking for a bonus point, but for the fact that it has, you know, it's a necessity here if Ireland are to realistically win the championship. To jog the memory a bit for people, this is a French team that would really feel they should be going for a Grand Slam. They have settled 9 and 10. The 9 in DuPont is just about as good as anyone in his position in the world. They have this back row suddenly which can score tries and do everything else besides. They have Vakatawa and Fika in the centre. They have, you know, all the running rugby Keith talked about as well. I mean, you park the championship for a second. If Andy Farrell can go there and get a win of any kind and Ireland finish runners-up, that is still a really good innings, you would have to say.
Yeah, you got to go back to the start of the Six Nations, and it's an awful long time ago and an awful lot has happened since then. But I think we all thought that if Ireland won their home games and managed to pick off one of their two away games, it'd be a pretty good return. And I think if Ireland, you know, they can't think this way, but if Ireland finished second in the Six Nations, considering how bad 2019 was and how it ended, and the fact that they've changed coaches, it's a pretty decent result for them. But the context is that they're going over there knowing that a bonus point win will be enough for them to win the championship. I think they only ever got a try-scoring bonus once in France in 2006 when they lost the game in one of those mad games where France built up a huge score and Eddie O'Sullivan's team kind of chased them to the end and scored a couple of tries of their own. I think Andrew Trimble got a couple, if I remember correctly. But like, if you remember back to 2015, when the last time kind of we had a Super Saturday of this ilk, strange things happened. That France-England game at the end when they both knew what was on the line, and when England had to chase things. Now, France were a much more chaotic team back then than I think they are now. You know, the kind of the day took over and there was a bit of madness. And we've seen in other sports how behind closed doors sport has become slightly insane. And this may be the day where rugby catches that bug, because, you know, Ireland have given England a total to chase. I think it's 23 points. If England get over that, then Ireland have a target to go after to win by, but they know that the four tries will do it for them. And I think there's going to be a bit of craziness there. But France equally can win the championship on Saturday, and France and there's a lot of money at stake for the unions who can't get bums on seats. There's 3.3 million between first place and fourth place, and Ireland can finish in any one of those positions. So there's an awful lot at stake on Saturday. I do think that while ordinarily, you know, you don't go to Paris in search of a bonus point in any way, shape or form, you know, I do think the context of the day and the fact that it's Super Saturday and there's no one there, you know, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I think there's scope for a bit of something strange to happen there. And hopefully that's what happens.
Keith, some specifics then. Gary Ringrose out, really unfortunate injury, and he's going to have a sore jaw for a couple of weeks, to say the least. So we wish him well in his recovery. Vakatawa and Fikau against Henshaw and Aki.
I'm not worried by that, strangely. I think Vakatawa is incredible. I watched how Exeter played against Racing and how they defended against him. I don't know whether we could do something similar, but they absolutely blocked him out of the game. The second he was tackled, two other guys flooded immediately on top of him, and he had no offload left or right. That was quite interesting to watch. I think they're potent. I think DuPont's on fire. I think defensively, I think we'll miss Ringrose a little, because I think his pure defense in that 13 channel is the best we have. Best we have by a good step, and I think it's very difficult. It's a difficult position under which to defend, and he seems to do it very well. He doesn't get as much of the plaudits that he deserves, actually, for a guy who goes about his business very quietly, but he does it really, really well. But look, having two guys like that, or even Chris Farrell flitting in there, I don't know whether that could be live or not. You know, for the first time in a long while, we have people that are not overly worried when there's an injury for it. We think we've got guys of quality there. It is about getting our defensive line really, really sharp. And the one thing that I will point from last week is with Will Connors coming out of the line early to make the tackle behind the gain line. I don't know if he'll have as much opportunity to do that, but I think that gives a huge opportunity for the defensive line to stop a lot of what France can do. It's harder because France play with their backs much further behind the gain line, but with their forwards running at a million miles an hour. So if you pick out the right guy and tackle him behind the gain line, your defensive whole program becomes an awful lot easier. So I think that becomes something that we need to do, stop them at source, because that's what happened last weekend.
And in Connors and Doris, are we looking at two players who will become very seasoned internationals, win lots of caps?
Well, I think Doris, I've said this all along, I think Doris and Deegan offered different things, but were both very, very exciting. I actually rather Deegan, and Doris has got the chance and the opportunity. Deegan's got injured, but Doris is taking it hands down. I mean, he's playing brilliantly every week. I think the balance of that back row looked fantastic. Connors, for me, I'd say to every single kid that watches rugby, if you want to find out how to tackle big guys well, watch him, because he's so low, but he's in such control of the movement. He's not tackling head on. He's tackling just on the side, but in a manner in which his head is perfectly on the right side, and the guy hits the ground every time. So, and I thought CJ did a mountain of work, and he did a mountain of work with other guys doing a mountain of work. And that's what a back row is supposed to do. And I thought they looked really, really balanced. I thought Peter Mahoney looked like he wanted to get involved and looked, I know there was a lovely offload, but it wasn't that. It was the joy that was on his face that I liked a lot of. And that's one thing I saw last weekend that we hadn't seen in rugby for a while, was proper joy. We've watched Leinster and Munster lose some big matches lately, Ulster the same, Ireland not having great stuff in the spring. But when Hugo Keenan scored his second try, just watch the look on Conor Murray's face immediately afterwards. He's jumping for joy. That's the sort of images we want to see.
Rory, the physicality of Doris is unmistakable, and the tackling of Connors is unmistakable as well. You just can't but see it. All week in advance of the game, I heard that Connors is far more skilled than we might be giving him credit for, that he's a more rounded player than we might think. He's got a step, he's got hands. We just haven't quite seen it for Leinster yet. Is that the word on the ground on him?
It seems to be, yeah. And he's going to have to show it. I think of the two of them, you'd certainly be putting more money on Doris winning 50 caps at this stage. And that's not to disparage Will Connors. It's just that he's in competition with Josh van der Fleer. He's got Dan Levy coming back on Friday night and getting through, I think, with half an hour of rugby. And I know I wouldn't be putting any pressure on Dan Levy to play international rugby before Christmas, but if things go well for him, I think he's the best seven in the country. So Connors has competition, but he can't do any more than what he did last Saturday. And I thought we saw a bit of the skill. I thought we saw some good carrying, and we saw him jackal a few times. I thought, you know, there was one time he combined with Keenan. Keenan hunted down his own kick and nailed down the Jaden Hayward, and Connors smashed him and then followed through and won a penalty for Ireland. You know, that's what you want to see. And I think the two of them brought huge energy to the team, and that's what the other players fed off. And I think when the senior men see the young guys fitting in and contributing in that way, they like it and they feed off it. So I think, like, Connors did really well. And yeah, you do hear from people who've seen him at younger ages in UCD or Clongos or for the Sevens. They say there's a footballer there, but it's harder to do it at this level and it's harder to show it. But if you're in a back row with Doris and Standard, that may not be his role. His role may be to kind of complement those two, because, like, Standard's looking like he's like a bit like Bundy Aki and Johnny Sexton. He looks like he's in the shape of his life. And He gets true numbers in every game, but I think his numbers are of higher quality at the moment, and that's only going to be good for Ireland.
You were one of the lucky few in the stadium. Sometimes you get a better sense of what's going on off the ball, obviously, as opposed to on TV. Stockdale at 15. Talk to us.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect, but I liked it. And I would have been fairly sceptical of it coming in because I haven't seen a huge amount to convince me that he is a 15. But I thought he looked energised, but he looked like... sometimes Jacob Stockdale switches off and doesn't look as interested as he should be on the rugby pitch. And on Saturday, he looked really tuned in. And maybe the challenge of switching to 15, which he said is his preferred position, is exactly what has been needed to get him back to the level that we've seen from him, certainly in attack. And maybe, I've heard people who know a bit more about defence than me say that, the way Ireland defend in the wing positions doesn't really suit his game, whereas in 15, the way they play with 15, that, it may just work for him in that he's a little less exposed. He was tidy, but made a couple of mistakes. He needs to cut those out for when he steps up in class. But he brought an awful lot in terms of counter-attack. And Ireland are a team who pretty much haven't counter-attacked for an awful long time. Tactically, I don't think Rob Kearney was given a huge amount of license to do it. I don't necessarily hold it against him. I think, Joe wanted the fullback to restart the play. I think they need to start, especially when they're struggling to break teams down physically, why not use their fullback to try and run back and create openings for other players to pass the ball? And he's got the skills to do it. I think the second Keenan try that was chalked off was pretty unfortunate. And had they not been so fussy about that James Ryan block, a lot of refs might have let that go. We're looking at a real moment of counter-attacking class and, something that maybe we've seen a bit from Jordan Larmour, but maybe not as much in the green shirt, and something that's been missing from the Irish game for the last decade, really.
Yeah, Stockdale, always very open, I think, in a good way. And he was saying, Keith, in advance of the game, they're playing a 15, he knows you can't afford to switch off defensively. Sometimes on the wing, you can take 10 seconds to yourself. But also, Rory and I think Bernard Jackman, I heard during the week, was saying the way Ireland defend, there is an onus on the wingers to come up off the line and then go back and open. There's a lot of decisions to be made, and maybe the fullback doesn't quite have those number of decisions to make across 80 minutes. Perhaps, I don't know to what extent it's easier or not to defend there. It certainly didn't look fun for Robbie Henshaw against England in 2019. So Stockdale, 15, Keith.
Yeah, well, Robbie Henshaw in England was a different one. We got our pockets picked. Yeah. It was difficult to say.
Nobody was good that day.
No, that didn't work for us that day. I'm not sold on Stockdale at 15 yet. I think we're playing against Italy. He wasn't exposed too much with it. I think he looked a bit nervous, which is fine. I think he got a lot of caps to grow into the role. And I know we talked about it. He was scoring tries for fun. And when he was, I think everybody was willing to say he's going to have a few defensive lapses. And he was learning in real time. And it was very difficult to... it was easy to criticise him and difficult to criticise him because he was a kid. He scored a huge number of tries in his first season. He hasn't scored a huge amount since. I think he is under different types of pressure. I'd like to see him do very well. I mean, we're in need of a fullback. You often don't really appreciate people until they're gone, but Kearney had tidied up that 15 for a long time. Larmour, I still don't know, is big enough at 15 because he gets exposed. Stockdale definitely is that big. But I don't know whether it's a placeholder for a period of time. I think he may end up be fighting for his position on the wing. And we might end up with Hugo Keenan at full back. He just seems to be a little bit more, I don't know, is it natural or comfortable, more kind of pure footballer. But I think we'll see Stockdale there for a while yet. Mm. But I don't know he'll be given as much time as he was when he was there on the wing because he's older and time kind of squeezes on both ends. But look, we're picking holes in things at the weekend. Not everything was perfect, but a lot of things were pretty good. So I think he'd be happy having got through it because it's a daunting thing moving a position. We don't move our players across the back line quite as readily as they do in other countries. But so he'd want to do better, and I think he'd be more exposed at the weekend. But having got that game under it, will he be able to step up to it? And that's the wish is that he will.
Mm. And are there specifics when you say, you have reservations? So, I mean, I can see he dropped a ball. Which he should have caught, and he's done that a few times of late, and so there's that. But positionally, is it you're talking about, or is it in his decision making?
For me, it's just that sense of comfort and how he actually looks, and without being anything more than that, just looking at the game, looking at the player, watching it obviously from afar, and just saying, how certain is he? Is he ready to run back here? Why is he jogging? He could really kind of up the gas at that stage if he is going to counterattack. How certain is he yet? And so he looked very certain for when he started as an attacking winger, and he didn't look certain defensively, be that our system or whatever. He was all at sea, but that's fine. He's learning, and he was a young kid and he was learning. I looked at the game the other day. I want to see him as a winger, as a guy who is a pure counter attacker. I want to see him have a real cut and a real go. And I want to see him very comfortable under the high ball, because you're so exposed. If you make a couple of mistakes, drop one ball, drop two balls, you just know that they're going to put more balls on top of you to try and put you under more pressure. So when you catch them, you know, it builds more confidence in yourself, but also takes away a little bit from the opposition. So for me, it's just comfort. I don't like, he's played there and he's played there a bit, but he hasn't played a colossal amount there. And as I said, I'm not sold on him yet. Mm. I'd like to see him grow into it, and I think he'll get the chance to do so. So I'm not sure. I'm not dishing him in the bin, you know. I'm just saying, I need to see more of him, to be honest, and be challenged more, because there wasn't much of a challenge from Italy.
No, that much we can agree on. So if I had to push you for a prediction then, Keith, what are we saying for Paris?
Yeah, that's a great one. Well, I think we have to go and score the four tries. So I'm looking for that idea of absolutely going for it. And look, I didn't even know those figures that Rory mentioned earlier on. If there's a difference from 3.3 million from first to fourth, why not go all out this time? Now, you have to stay into the game, of course, and you have to bear with the power and the speed that invariably happens in Paris. But maybe this time it won't happen quite as much, as Rory said. So, look, I don't know. I don't think if we talked in the spring whether we thought we'd be maybe winning a championship. I think it's a great thing for us to be going into the last game with that there. I always believe you should dream big. You know, what's the purpose? If you win the game and just go to win the game, and I know that sounds ludicrous to even say it, but why not go all out for this one?
Mm. I mean, it'd be hard to just win the game and not score in the region of four tries anyway, probably, Rory. So we have two sides here in Paris who both need to score tries. I mean, the thing is, over in France right now, on their equivalent of this show, they are talking about putting up a big number in Ireland. So we have two teams going out to score lots of tries. It's not going to be 9-0 this game.
No, when you got to, you know, also factor in the fact that last time Ireland were in Paris, they would see it that they were absolutely robbed by a Johnny Sexton drop goal deep in injury time. And the following year, Ireland hockeyed them in the Six Nations in Dublin. So, like, Ireland's record against against France recently is very, very good. But this is a very different team. Yeah. I think that's a team that can punish Ireland and can cause awful problems. DuPont is key to everything they do. And how Ireland adapt to that will be fascinating to see, because I think this is the biggest, this is the biggest test they'll have. Well, sorry, it's equivalent to going to Twickenham, really. And we've seen what happened there. So it's a really, really good indicator of where they're at. I think they can do it. I don't think they probably will. I think France may have a bit too much. But if you go back to the spring and Murrayfield, when Scotland picked them apart and kind of did for them, they're not perfect yet. They're a really good team. And I think by 2023, they'll be an excellent team. But they have flaws. And I think Andy Farrell and his team will have seen where they can get at them. It's just whether they can pull it off and whether they have the set piece and whether Porter can step up to the mark, having showed well last weekend. You know, there's a lot of questions over Ireland still, and we're going to know an awful lot more about where they are after Saturday. You know, what is it? It's a 9 o'clock kickoff locally, so about midnight on Saturday night, we'll know where we stand.
It's a ridiculous kickoff time.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous. But there we are.
Joe, the only difference on this from even 6 months ago is that Sean Edwards has had a bit longer with the French guys.
Yeah.
Their defensive setup was very different the weekend from anything we've seen. It was a high level of aggression, but it was mostly controlled, like just on the edge. But that's very, very similar to what Sean Edwards has done with Wales and Wasps for years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not an easy task, to say the least. Rory, I know you watched Adam Griggs and his team beat Italy as well over the weekend. They've home advantage against France. Given their amateur status, they would have had to quarantine the players if they had travelled to Paris and back. So the French made the gesture of offering to travel, which is a really nice show of sportsmanship. And also probably a signal of just how confident France are of winning this game. Ireland have beaten Wales, beaten Scotland, and now beaten Italy, which is, you know, goes down as a very decent championship. And then it's trying to close the gap on the other two.
Yeah, well, France slipped up on Sunday, I think it was. They drew with Scotland in the Six Nations game, which was totally unexpected, and handed England the title. So they're not maybe... I think all the teams, particularly in the women's Six Nations, are dealing with very strange preparations and probably not in the place that they would normally be when they play each other in Six Nations time. And I think that was reflected in Saturday evening's game. I watched it knowing the result because it was on just after the men's game. But, you know, it was scrappy enough. Ireland's lineout was pretty poor. They made a number of mistakes. But they have welcomed Dr. Claire Malloy back after a year or so on the away from the game. She, you know, former captain of the team, and she stepped in and was absolutely brilliant. And Lindsay Peach, at nearly 40, was really excellent. And then they've infused the team with a bit of youth in Bevan Parsons, the winger, who looks really dangerous, and Dorothy Wall, the flanker. Beating Italy is a much better achievement for the women's team than it is for the men's. The Italian women's team has been pretty good the last couple of years, and they're part of this World Cup qualifying tournament that is supposed to be on in December, COVID permitting. So getting one over them is a pretty important result. So I think it was a decent start for them. And yeah, I think the fact that the French have offered to do that is pretty magnanimous, but also possibly, you know, helps Ireland in terms of their preparation and building towards that qualifying tournament, which really is the be all and end all for them this year.
Okay. We had Monday Night Rugby, by the way, last night, which is a new departure. Munster 38, Cardiff 27. I don't know, did either of you see it? I didn't get a chance. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, as one of the first editions of Monday Night Rugby, it seems like it was a big success.
I thought it was great. Great game of rugby. Plenty of mistakes, of course. A lot of new faces there. A lot of guys having a cut. I've never seen Munster. Well, I haven't seen Munster keep the ball alive like that for... I don't know if ever, which is a great thing to see. Munster were weak defensively in the centre. Actually, they struggled, got caught up and gave some easy scores away. It was kind of a slightly nervy game because they were so enjoyable to watch for so much when they had the ball in their hands. For huge tracks of the game. And it was quite hard for them to score, but they scored a lot of them. Close in ones, which is a good mixture of grunt and skill and guile, but they gave up scores quite easily from poor defensive lapses. And but still, you've got a lot of young guys there. It was great to see Hodnett playing, and again he led the line, which is very good. He was rushing to make his tackles, which suddenly the whole speed of Munster's line seemed to improve, which was very good. And you had Coombs at number 8, who was involved in everything for the whole game. I thought he had a cracking game of rugby. And 9 and 10 with Casey and Healy, suddenly there's a lot of young guys through there. So it was a very decent performance, and they looked fresh even at the end. So it was great, actually really enjoyable. Okay. Really kind of good game to watch.
Yeah, and they're picking up wins, you know, despite the reservations over the last couple of weeks. It's another win. Fellas, Test Rugby... back. We will know a lot more come next Saturday evening, so we'll talk next week. Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent, Keith Wood, thanks a million.
Cheers, Jets.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.